Welcome back to Train, Develop, Compete. I'm your host, Mike Colangelo. I'm here today with John Miller. He's the Gainesville High School baseball coach in Gainesville, Virginia. Thanks for coming in today, John.
Of course.
I just want to talk about the season of 2024 coming up. Obviously, it's your third year program. A lot of young talent. This is kind of when a lot of the new schools kind of, year one's tough. You have no seniors. I went through it as a cold coach. Year two is more expectations, but typically it's not where you want to be because, your first senior class, a lot of times when these schools open up Prince William County, it's not a huge senior class. And then you get to your third year, and now you're kind of rocking and rolling. You got a full senior class. You got full junior class. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to this season that you think you can kind of make that jump forward?
Yeah, of course. I think that year three, just having the kids be a year older, a year more mature. I don't think we really realized it, and I know you went through this, till game one, they're going and shaking hands after game one. You're like, we have boys playing among men. And so now those boys are men, and they have the experience that a lot of kids don't get. They've been together for 2 years now. I think we've set a good foundation where the boys know kind of our bread and butter, what we want to do. And so there's not as much of the building of culture that has to go on with every new team. Yep. Because we have the same kids.
Yep.
We graduated three kids last year. Two were starters, and so we have to replace those innings. But past that, we're trying to find new ways to keep the kids engaged and excited. We brought in two new coaches to kind of elevate the level of instruction that they're getting. Really just hitting the little changes in routine that we want to make this year going forward. It'll challenge the kids a little bit more because we don't want them to get comfortable. That's the challenge that you get with these teams where you have the same kids. And I mean, you look at the four of our kids have started every game.
Yeah.
And so it can be easy for a 16-year-old to get complacent.
Yeah.
When they've started.
No, that's a good point. Like, I remember building up to Colgan. Year one is exciting,
yeah.
Right? No seniors. I think year two, you had three seniors. I think I had five.
Yeah.
And then, year three, we had much more than that. But, we had the Riley Johnsons. Like, his junior is a three-year starter, right? So you got to find a way to keep them, being comfortable in the uncomfortable environment of, there could be a guy. You got to work hard. This isn't your team. It's our team. But I think you've built a good culture there. And who are your key returners coming into the season? I mean, who are your key guys that you're going to have to lean on? Who are the three or four key members?
I mean, you've got the four kids that have started every game in their high school careers other than one spring break game. They're fresh. The first year. I say yep. freshman year, yep. but it was the first year.
Yep.
Which is Lucas, Caden, JW, and Ben.
Yep.
Those four have been workhorses for us in the past, two of them on the bump, and all of them swing the bat. So they've been huge for us. And they've really got a lead. They've got a, not that they haven't cemented anything, but yep. they've got to, without a doubt, be some of the set the tone for what's going to come in the future. And when we talk about trying to introduce new things and avoid complacency, it starts with those kids at the top. And they do a great job of making sure that not only they're not complacent, but nobody behind them is complacent, that mm-hmm. they're challenging, J-Dub challenging an outfielder or a catcher, or Cade Merritt challenging a freshman who maybe he's not going to see a whole lot of in the spring, but is somebody that down the line is going to help the program win after Caden's gone on to the next level and is seeing success there.
Yeah, I would always tell my guys, leave a mark.
Yeah.
Right? You got four great guys here. A lot of them here, they train here, and I've seen them, and I've kind of told them, you're not just as good as your coach. You're as good as each other. Actually, I just told Caden Merritt this today. I was like, what do you want out of the season as a leader? And then what do you want out of the season as a player? And what you want as a player can't override what you want as a team.
Right.
And I think that's kind of, I just told you walking in, my 2021 team that lost in the state finals 2-1 to Madison, we started a season and our staff knew we were good. We didn't think we were great. We knew we were good. But the season went on, game 7, 8, 9, you're 9-0, you're 10-0, or maybe you're 8-2. And all of a sudden you start looking around at other teams and you're like, man, like, we can make a run at this.
Why not us?
Yeah, why not us? And so I think for a lot of high school coaches, you know, if you can get kids to buy into, like, hey, we all have these goals. Like, I'm sure all you guys want to be first team All-State, MVP of their district. Those are great goals. But when your focus is on those individualized goals, you'll never reach them, right? Because you're always living in, man, I got them 2-for-4. Now I'm 0-for-4. I got to go 3-for-4 to keep my average here to make sure I'm better than so-and-so in the dish. Like, hey, if you can stay on that team goal of let's win every pitch of every inning of every game, and when you do that, it's crazy how your Caden Merritt, your Lou Marrero, your Ackermans, your Cole Myers, your Jeremy Haydens, all these guys are going to be integral parts. Your stats are always there,
right?
You know, and that was hard for me to get across the first few years, but I had some really good leaders in 2021 that figured that out quick.
Right, and that we talk about that quite a bit with the boys, is the duality of the game of baseball. It's an individual game more than basketball, yep, more than a lot of the other sports. It's an individual game, but at the same time, if you just have 9 individuals out there, they're probably not going to see a whole lot of success unless you got 9 D1, yep. Like, you know, it's got to be a team that you're putting together. And so there is the individual aspect, but then there's also the team aspect and making sure that we're taking team at bats. And that's part of what goes into the first few weeks. I think a lot of the offseason, the kids are with us, they're out on the side, they're with you, and they're working on the individual part, because if they don't take care of the individual part, then the team's not going to do very well.
Right.
The individual, that has to be the base,
yep,
that they're setting. If we have 15 to 17 kids that take care of the individual part, that's where in those first few weeks we can work on the team part and work on what is our approach going to be. I heard somebody speak a couple weeks ago and they talked about the team approach, looking at stats. What is our record when we score first?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of looked back at that over the last 2 years, and the one stat that stands out for Gainesville, and you talked about how it's tough early on with the bats, especially for us as a program. But when we extend a lead, we're 21-1, which is incredible considering we only have 22 wins as a program. So we're 21-1. When we extend a lead. So that's going to become a big talking point for us going forward, because we see that individually helps our program.
Right.
And so we're going to stress that with the kids. Scoring first, extending leads.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Like, for us, I think year two was the first time we ever had, like, a, in my opinion, like a signature win, I called it. It was Battlefield at our place. Right. I felt they were better than us. Mm-hmm. And we snuck one out. And it was like that moment of, man, you know, maybe we can win some big games, right? For you this year, you got Colgan on your schedule. You got a spring break tournament. You've got Battlefield twice. You've got Patriot twice. You've got Freedom twice. I mean, you guys play, in my opinion, is one, I think, the toughest district around. Yeah. And so I think it's critical in those first 2 weeks for these kids to go out and just win one of those. Because if they win one, they're going to win two, they're going to win four, it's going to roll. And that was kind of, you know, for us, I mean, our first year, we lost every time to Forest Park and Potomac. Our second year, we lost every game to Forest Park and Potomac. Our third year, we lost every game to Forest Park and Potomac. Fourth year was COVID. In year five, you know, Forest Park and Colgan, Potomac and Forest Park were the top teams in our district.
Right.
And when we beat them, it was like, oh, we can do this. Right. You know, so I think that's going to be critical for your team, is those first 2 weeks when you face the Freedom and you face the Battlefield and you face the Patriot. Beating one of those teams, right, I think a light will go on for these kids. And like, you know what, like, we are better than them.
Yeah.
And no, then I think you'll get rolling.
We're just waiting for that domino to fall. And
yeah,
we thought we had it a few times. And that was part of the idea behind the schedule last year. And, I mean, our record didn't signify that we had a better year than year one. But
right,
we absolutely did.
Oh, yeah.
When we look at the schedule that we put together, we had you guys, obviously, in Forest Park, the, yep, top two on the other side of the region. But, I mean, we had 12 losses. 6 of them came against teams that were in the state tournament.
Yeah.
So we were trying to put that together, and Coach Halsey and I actually had a few conversations where you look at it and we're like, if we could just get that one,
yeah,
the dominoes are going to start.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to start taking some
left. It's going to happen this year, Coach. I look at these guys, they're more confident.
Yeah.
They walk with their chest high. I mean, it's a matter of time, which I think will be this year.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you got Coach Rittenauer over there, who's a good friend of mine. He's your AD.
Yeah.
You guys have been, you know, getting that field right, you know, just tweaking all that kind of stuff, and I know he's doing a great job for you.
Absolutely.
Easy to work for, supports the baseball program, which that's paramount in high school baseball. When you got someone that supports baseball, right? Because a lot of schools, it's football dominant, it's basketball dominant. It's always nice, you know. When I had Mr. Staples at Colgan, you know, he was a baseball coach at one time. People don't know that. So like, when I needed something, he understood. Right? It wasn't like I was going into a football AD going, hey, I need more baseball. So you know, you guys are gonna have everything you need from the administration support right. to the baseball or softball program for that matter. And then now it's just about getting these guys rolling in this 24 season. I look forward to not coaching, believe it or not, and watching you guys from the fence as a parent and also a fan of you guys. What are some of the keys that you think need to happen for you guys, not just to compete district, because I think you're going to do that very well, but to get in the region and win those first two games so it's an automatic state berth? What are the couple keys?
I think we need to the offense. I mean, pitching, we're returning a lot of the pitching, and pitching has been the strong suit in the past. So we need to make sure that we maintain that, but offense is the big key. And if we can start to attack early and then extend late, I think yep. that I think that's the jump. And playing team ball is important with that. And whether that's small ball or whether that's just move the line, understanding the, let me rephrase that, identifying the situation mm-hmm. and identifying what approach J.W. Kohlmeyer is going to have for that at bat.
Right.
And being able to change that on the fly. I think when we can do that and ask, what does the team need from me right now?
Yeah.
When we can do that, I think with our pitching staff, it's going to come down to two, three runs. It did last year. I mean, you look at a game like Freedom that went eight or nine last year. If we get one more run, if we don't get picked
off.
Lake Braddock. And a lot of them are little mistakes that we're going to keep training, we're going to keep building. And some of them are just youthful mistakes that we tried. I don't think we had too many, considering how young we were, especially in year one. But the more that we train and the more they train outside of us in the summer and the fall, then the less that's going to happen, and the more that we're not going to make those mistakes, and the more runs we're going to score.
What, you know, you start looking at, like, as a high school coach, you know, like, we always put, you know, how good are we, or, you know, how great of a job do we do as a coaching staff on wins and losses,
right?
And I know your background. I know what you mean to the teaching world, right? I've heard how great of a teacher you are. When your kids leave the program, what do you want them to remember the program as?
Well, I think one of the big things that, like, we look at culture and what kind of culture that we want to build, and I think my definition of culture is, how hard is it for you to leave? How hard is it? Because everybody leaves at some point or another, right? Whether you're coach, player, everybody leaves at some point. I know how hard it was for you to leave Colgan last year, and I think that's a really good sign of a good culture. And so I think that's what I want kids to remember. Like, it's tough. It was tough for me to go through that last game because I knew I wasn't going to play for this season. Lucas, you look at Lucas Marrero. Like, I want Lucas to look back and be like, damn, I really miss it.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to go on to the next level. And he's going to continue to play baseball. He's not leaving baseball behind.
Right.
But he's leaving us behind. He's leaving JW behind, Caden. He's leaving all the way through. Jackson Morgan is a freshman coming in. Cam Weeks, how hard is it for him to leave those guys behind when he moves on to the next level? And I think I want them to remember that we competed every minute of every game. And that's...
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. I mean, I would always tell our guys, like, in high school, it's probably the best time of your life. I mean, I played in the major leagues. That was awesome. Like, but it's a business. You go to college, it was awesome. It is a business, right? You got to win. And
yep.
In high school, it's the last time, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's more fun, but it's the last time it's just pure. It's you and your friends going out there from 2:30 to 5:30 or 3 to 5, whatever, and just competing. And, you know, where it's not a business, right? Like, you know, if I lose, I'm not going to the principal's office and getting fired, right? So as long as I carry myself a certain way, the kids are doing great in the classroom, we're teaching the kids, there's good culture, like, that's what we want for these kids. And so, you know, and then these kids graduate and they go to college and they'll come back and say, Coach, you were right, man. Like, our best times were at Colgan High School, mm-hmm. you know? And so I almost wish, and this is a crazy statement, that everybody could like feel their last loss before it really happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, Brett Renfro, you're a junior, you're done, you're not playing anymore. They could feel how painful that is.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second, I'm just joking. Like, now you come back and play your senior year.
Absolutely.
And you really can't do that. So you hope that, like, you, and you have this, you have really ultra competitive kids where they want to just compete their tails off because they want to play for one more game.
Right. They'll always pull that, the other guys with them.
Absolutely.
Right? You look at a guy like Lucas. Like, Lucas is trying, he doesn't want it to end. Especially, he doesn't want to end on a loss.
Correct.
He wants to win the last game of the season,
yeah,
like every kid should. And so he knows he's going to take care of him,
yep,
right? Like, I know I'm going to take care of everything that I possibly can, but I'm not going to get there by myself.
Right.
Like, if I don't have buy-in from Lucas, if Lucas doesn't have buy-in from a younger kid, from like a Connor Armstrong that could be a swing guy for us,
yep,
this year, like, if he doesn't have that buy-in from the younger levels, his career is not going to end the way that he wants it to.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he gets that and he's pushing that on other kids, that's something that's going to out, that in terms of us building programs, that's going to outlast any one kid. And that's going to have a bigger impact than any one win.
Right. And you just talked about swing guys, you know, Connor, like, what are two or three guys that, you know, outside of your top four guys, right, that have been there forever, I shouldn't even say top four, the guys that started the most games, yeah, what are two or three guys that, you know, for me, I guess in 2021, when that was our big splash, it was, you know, I knew what I was getting from CJ Falkenberry, but I didn't know what I was getting from Brett Renfro, who was a sophomore.
Right.
I knew he was a good player, but he's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandon Cassie went from being a good high school player to a great high school player. I knew that was in the cards, mm-hmm, but when was he going to play the ace of spades, right? That was 2021, his junior year. Connor Knox, you know, everyone knew who he was, but he battled injuries freshman year, COVID his sophomore year, mm-hmm, came out, was one of the top pitchers in the state his junior year. That wasn't by surprise. It was like, right, he was ready to play the ace of spades out there, right? Who are two or three guys that, you know, we should look for that, you know, maybe not everyone knows, but man, they're putting themselves in a position to where they could really swing this thing in a nice direction,
right,
for you.
And I mean, I think it. You always look at the spots where you have question marks, and our biggest question marks are where we just graduated guys out of, which is second and third.
Yep.
So you look at the infield, you look at, we have some older kids that have played in the past, and then you've got some younger guys like a Connor Armstrong or Matthew Ida Miller,
yep,
and it's, are they, as sophomores, are, like you said, are they ready to play that ace?
Yep.
Like, are they ready? Another couple guys are two of the most versatile guys, and it's just, where are they going to land? What are they going to do? Gavin Elliott and Jeremy Hayden.
Yep.
And
two good players.
Two really good players. And how many